Okay, thank you very much, Mr. West Tuttle. Thank you, sir. All right, let's start off opening your hymn books to hymn number 223. 223. This is the Isaac Watts hymn, and I love singing his song. Of course, we do have another. We have "The Pharisees of High Esteem." That's also by Isaac Watts. So we got two of them by him. But we'll sing 223, and let's have a word of prayer. Oh, good, you're here, man. We're just in. My goodness, we're just, boy, just in the nick of time. Okay, a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege, the opportunity, the blessing to just assemble ourselves during the week, Sundays, and worship you, meet with other believers, like-minded, struggling, and just encouraging one another, enjoying one another. And we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you in the name of your Son and the power of your Spirit. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's stand and sing. Thank you. Okay, let's, first of all, those of you that got to hear Joe Wednesday night, what a wonderful treat. Just continue to be in prayer for Joe. And he, in Arkansas, speaking to church today, and then he'll be in Tulsa, and then he leaves for Ghana on the 1st. I guess that's Wednesday or Thursday. Thursday. And so just need to be in prayer. Just whatever God has in store for him. He'll be through with this segment by the end of January. And Dan and Pat are going to go for the graduation of his 26 students, past to be pastors. and we'll talk to you more about that. We might try to pick up one or two, subsidize them in a church assembly somewhere in Ghana. So, and then he's got to make up his mind what he's going to do, where he's going to go. But he certainly is gifted to the mission field. And so, let's just continue to be in prayer for Joe and Brother Risley's, for these missionaries that we support. Wish you could have sat down and talked to his mom, though. She is a hoot. She is a hoot. I mean, he's growing up, and he said, what they would do on the 4th of July sometime, they have a boat out in the water, and a houseboat. It's a houseboat, actually. And she, instead of throwing firecrackers, they throw dynamite. He goes, why can't you be an ordinary mom? Just buy me cherry bombs and firecrackers, something like that. And, another one. What, at the house, she has a body rebuilding shop, but it's up in the woods outside of Hot Springs. And he said, why can't you be like most moms and just buy me an alarm clock instead of going out in the front yard and fire a gun to wake everybody up? And, she has a cannon that works. She fires it at least once a couple of times a year. And she got a machine gun with a silencer. And she's a hoot. Man alive. And he just sits there. Oh, brother. But let's continue to be in prayer for Joe as he goes back to Ghana. Now, I don't know how many of you have met Jamie and Delphia yet. They're from Tulsa, and her mother has spoken here. And why don't y'all just stand up a minute and let them see who you are. Now, Delphia's sister is Delphia's sister is also in Ghana, and she's doing what? Give us a report. It was interesting. Her name is Megan. Her sister's name is Megan. And Megan talked about and wanted to go and be trained at the hospitals in Ghana. Well, the doctor that takes care of James, who is the pastor where Joe lives, told her, he said, why would you want to come here when your country is so advanced on everything? I mean, they have stuff we don't even have here. And then if you want to come over here and work, that's fine. But take advantage of training there. So I don't know what she's going to do, but anyway, she'll...
Yeah, there's not as much. She can do more there because the liability.
Oh, yeah. There. Yeah. And the need and all is much more there. So, well, we're glad to have y'all here. And we'll be in prayer for your sister, Megan, as well as with y'all. Any questions? Oh, we took up 2,022.34. And I called Dan, and Dan said that is just so super because Joe owes for coming home for this wedding that he came home for. So that'll be very good. So we'll get that to him. I'll talk with you afterward. We need to get a mail to Grace Gospel Missions and then get that to him. Okay, let's talk about prayer. And Tish, how you doing?
I feel good.
And you feel good?
Yeah.
Good. You look good. You feel good. Hey, what's wrong? Jim and I would pay for that, to look good and feel good.
I've got some information out to a couple of different doctors, and that's all I know.
Cancer's still there?
Still there.
Okay. And the foot?
I think the foot's fine.
Okay. All right, so she can do her own walking now, Jerry. Okay. Let's see. We need to... Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Kit, his brother-in-law, passed away. Died, I think it was Friday. Wasn't it, Leslie? I think it was Friday. Those of you that don't know, He went in for just a repair on a hernia. Not even a full hernia, just a repair. And they went into his lower intestines, sewed him back up. He called and complained about the pain, and they told him just take more pain pills. It got worse and worse. He went back to the hospital. He was in intensive care, and he died Friday. So we need to be in prayer for Molly. Kit asked us to especially be in prayer. He's not even sure about Molly's salvation. So we need to be in prayer that he has the opportunity while he's there with the family to talk with her about the gospel. Need to be in prayer for their daughter, Alicia, who's been here. So that whole family needs our prayers. Kit and his wife, as they go and minister to his sister, family there, and travel. So please be in prayer for Kit and for Molly and the family. That's pretty tough. So, okay. Let's see. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes, sir.
It's my friend Charlotte, whose mom was challenged with Alzheimer's. She's been laid off this week, so she needs additional prayers to. She's got a lot on her shoulders.
Okay. Wow. In prayer. And your uncle?
Dale.
Your Uncle Dale? How's he doing? Okay. Let's be in prayer. Jerry's Uncle Dale. I don't know if you want to pray God take care of Uncle Dale or just pray for Dale, however you want to do it. God knows who you're talking about. So let's be in prayer for Dale. And yes?
We're going to be traveling to California on Wednesday.
Oh, that's right. Your daughter's wedding anniversary, 30th wedding anniversary. Very good. Yeah. Sorry, I'm not going to be there. Wow. And do you have enough for Roy Orbison?
Yeah, we have enough.
Good, okay. All right. So yeah, y'all leave when?
Wednesday.
Wednesday, okay. So you won't be here Wednesday night then, I guess. So we'll definitely be in prayer. My goodness, have a great time. Give him my love. Let's see, any other? Yes?
Larry Lynn is sick.
She's still sick?
Very. And she spent all day on Friday in the hospital. And she came home yesterday and then, she spent all day Friday. She was home during the day yesterday and went back last night.
To the hospital?
Yes. And she came back about 1:00 in the morning. She's back at her home in bed. But initially when she went, she was in a severe pain and the overactive immune system or the reaction, they don't know what's going on. They had to put a great amount of steroids in her body and morphine because of the pain. And when she came home, after she slept, it progressed again. She couldn't see out of her eyes yesterday barely because they had swollen stuff. So prayer number one, because they don't have a clue. They're just kind of hitting and missing here. And so she's home. Mackenzie has N1H1 flu. And with Larry's immune system suppressed with steroid, we're getting some of the PTA moms that she works with to do meals for them every other night so we can get Brian relieved somewhat. Because I'm going to have to go back to work part of the time anyway.
Well, I'll go by the restaurant and buy her some food.
Yeah. Anyway, we're lining that up for her because she's going to have to go to an allergy immunologist or something because we're not getting any,
Her and her sister Leah, they get things that are difficult to detect.
They're a rare breed.
And even Brian is rare. That whole family. My goodness.
I'm not going.
So, we can't blame Mom for any of this.
Tisha's genes are here too.
Oh, wow. Well, my goodness. Okay. So,
prayer number one. you know.
Larry, and which one of the children?
Mackenzie. But she's getting better.
Okay.
I'm suspecting that we may have it. My doc, the doc I work with says the old people aren't getting it, so not to worry about me.
Ryan's escaping it all?
He's okay right now, but you know, he's tired. I mean, getting up 3 or 4 days in a row.
Wow. Okay, well, thank you. My goodness, I had no idea. So she's been sick for over a week now.
Oh, she's, yeah, it's been well over that.
Yeah. It's last Sunday, so it's been over a week. My goodness. Let's be in prayer. The whole family. Any other prayer, local or anything? Okay, we have a family just kind of new listening in Arizona to us, the Johnson family. And they have just so many issues. For an example, the brother-in-law is a Vietnam vet, lost both legs, got Agent Orange, has heart problems. So I don't know what else go wrong with this poor guy. Needs our prayers. Karen, the lady that's talking with Jim and all, certainly needs our prayers. Her husband's out of a job right now, and so again, Karen needs prayer. The husband needs a job. The brother, his brother-in-law, is down, and so just be in prayer for the entire Johnson family, and in Tucson, Arizona. Yes. I'm sorry.
It's actually her fiance.
Oh, it's her fiance. That's right, John. Say, not her husband yet. And so, need to be in prayer. My goodness. Absolutely. Wow. And last week I told you to be in prayer. My daughter, by marriage, had a major surgery last Monday, and everything went well. She's recovering, still down, but recovering, so she needs your prayers. And Any other prayer requests? The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity. For God loveth the gracious giver. Gracious giver is defined as one who has personally accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. But, not just that. One who knows how to be filled with the Spirit. Paul says, if I give everything that I own to feed the poor, so that I myself become poor, but do not have love, profiteth nothing. So, it's not just a matter of giving. It's not just a matter of being a believer. It's a matter of being a believer led of the Holy Spirit in regard to giving. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, it's our custom occasionally to remind ourselves of the two great spheres of freedom that are involved in this facet of worship. One that we have enjoyed throughout the history of this country, the political, economic freedom to do with our lives, our time, and our resources as we see fit. We are most appreciative for this freedom that we still enjoy. We are thankful for the men and women who have served throughout our history, nation's history, to provide this freedom. We pray for them this morning, those that are in harm's way this very day. Pray for their families. In our prayer, Father, we know that some will die according to your choosing. We pray for their families. Some will come home. We pray for them and their families, that these things can be turned into spiritual enlightenment in their lives. But Father, we cross this freedom with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross. For it is in the spiritual realm of freedom that we have eyes to see how to use our political, economic freedom. where to live, whom to marry, and why, and what to do with our time, and why, what to do with our money, and why. How to use the various freedoms that we have in this country of choice to value our church, to value our marriages, to value our home. And Father, we're most appreciative for the person and work of Christ who provided us this freedom by His death on the cross and subsequent resurrection. We pray, Father, now that You will receive the offerings that we're about to give and that You will continue to use this humble assembly in the spreading of the gospel, first of all, right here to ourselves, to our own assembly, to our own family. And then, Heavenly Father, those who listen, internet, tapes, disc, missionary support, publications, so many things, Father. Pray that You continue to use this assembly. In Christ's name, amen. you. Genesis chapter 1. We're taking a look at the purpose for the gospel. We're looking at why it is faith and only faith and can be only faith. Looking at the heart of Romans 1 through 4. All of chapter 4, and it deals with total depravity. And so let's spend a moment in prayer, prepare ourselves, testing ourselves to see if we're trusting in His Spirit. His Spirit's the teacher, and we're in some very important, very basic, the foundation of the gospel, the need of the gospel, foundation of the understanding of God, the foundation of the understanding of ourselves. Our soul, our personality, what makes us being in the image and likeness of God. So let's prepare ourselves by prayer. Heavenly Father, Moses was led by your Spirit to write these things in Genesis 1 through 3, the beginning, the beginnings of so many things, the beginning of this earth, the universe, the beginning of man, the beginning of sin, beginning of the history of man. So Father, I pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see, to understand who and what we are, why it has to be by grace through faith. Father, as we study these things, we gain such an appreciation and admiration and praise of who and what you are. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. All right, Genesis 1:26. We've been studying this, so let's just get it going and keep in this flow. One small announcement. Just a minute. I had Delphia write her name, their name, phone numbers on the back, and forgot to open it back up and put it here. Just explaining. All right. I'm glad you did. Okay. Next Sunday is Communion Sunday. It's October the 4th. That's my mother's birthday. October the 4th. And the theme is harvest time. And pot roast. Ooh. Stew. Pot pie. Chili. Ooh, that's good. And rolls and green beans. And, I'm getting hungry. Okay. So, next Sunday, communion. And then we'll have our fellowship time together. And I want to also let you know, next Sunday, the 4th, Dan and Pat Hill will be coming in that afternoon. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're going to a conference held here in Dallas, and the main reason we're going, this is for your prayer, the main reason we're going to this conference is that unlike any pastor's conference I've ever been to, and I've been going to those for many years, several decades, they're going to be talking about how to be filled with the Spirit. And they've asked Dan, he's written a paper. They're going to use his paper. And Dan and I and Judith and Pat, we're going to go to different seminars and discussions and just be able to, whenever we're asked, whenever the opportunity arises, to present that it's by grace through faith, just as our salvation is. So please be in prayer for that. So we will not have class Tuesday and Wednesday night of the 6th and 7th of October. So this week, I don't know why people always seem to confuse people. This week, class. Tuesday, Wednesday night, class. The following Tuesday and Wednesday, we will not have class. Be at this conference. Solicit your prayers. Next Sunday, the 4th, we'll have communion, and then we'll have our fellowship time together. So, thank you. Okay, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Let's just move right into our study from where we left off last Sunday. Now, verse 26. Then God, Elohim, plural, three members of the Godhead in one, Elohim, said or decreed, let us, okay, not angels, we're not created in the image of angels, let us, all three members of the Godhead, make, this helps us know what we're talking about, this is the Hebrew word, asah, it means to make something out of something. So, what was originally created is our soul. Out of that, we have the making of the personality of man. So, let us make asah out of something, out of the soul, man, Adam, human race, in, here we have our first preposition, in or after the pattern of our Godhead image. Slim. T-S-E-L-E-M. We have the same essence, all members of the human race, same essence, invisible yet real. This refers to the structure of our soul according to our Godhead likeness. So we have image, slim, and likeness. This is the Hebrew word damuth, D-A-M-U-T-H, personality of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, same, different personality, so we call them Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Then the rest of the passage, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky, over the cattle and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So that's a whole other study. Verse 27. By the way, we lost, because of the fall, we lost this rule over the earth. We lost it. Okay, verse 27. And God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So God created image, created him, and male and female created them. Created three times. Making a point here. So let's start off. God, Elohim again, all three members of the Godhead involved. This time we have the verb created. It's a cal stem of the verb bara, B-A-R-A. Throughout the Bible, only God is the subject of the verb bara. And we've looked at various passages, heaven, earth, humanity, heavenly hosts, expanse of the earth, north and south, and that's where I had to close. So now we pick it up here. And God, Elohim, created, that's created out of nothing, man, Adam. Adam can be used for the name of the first male, Adam, or Adam can be used in reference to the whole human race. Here it's referring to the human race, mankind. This refers to the creation, the original creation, of the soul of man. Let us, and God created out of nothing, bara, Adam. With the definite article, refers to the original creation of the first man, his soul. Adam refers to the human race, but here with the definite article, it has emphasis on that first Adam. I mean, here he is, boom, the first Adam, the first male on earth. It is amazing how man declares himself to be wise, be wiser than the Bible, showing themselves to be fools, but God created this Adam. There was not an Adam. Boom, there is an Adam. So Elohim created out of nothing Adam. Next we have the phrase, in his own image. This is a repeat from the previous verse of the preposition ba, B sound, plus slim, T-S-E-L-E-M, referring to the essence of man, real but invisible. Essence, the essence, design of the soul, has never changed from the first Adam to the last. The first Adam did not have any of these desires that you and I do not have. That soul has been the same design from the first Adam to the last man born in human history. The soul of man is always the same. So many things differ about the influence on that soul. Culture. You take someone born in Africa, may take them a longer period of time to develop vocabulary, to develop things, but the basic structure of that soul is the same. And we spent a little few 10 minutes last time how man is for a long time. The black man in Africa is not really a human being, and the Aborigines in Australia, they're not really human. Yes, they are. And they have a soul structure, just like you. Same hurt, same pain, same desires, same needs. Love, care, taking care of family, all of these wonderful things that we all have born into our structure. So this has always been the same, and this is good. This is very good. This is why the need of salvation has always been the same, and it's always been the same salvation to satisfy that need. That need has always been there since the first Adam and Eve fell, and we'll get into that, a total depravity. And the need is always taken care of wherever you are by the gospel, the true gospel, of believing in Christ by faith through grace and grace alone, faith alone in Christ alone. That has been the solution for every human being throughout all history. One of the remarkable things about the United States of America, we could sit here and talk about the remarkable of the capitalistic enterprise, the free enterprise, all these wonderful things. People, if we think about God's total plan in this deal, this country has, in a very short period of time, gone into every corner of the earth and given the gospel. We have gone in and actually taught people their language, put it in writing. They didn't have it in writing. We put it in writing so that we could give them a Bible. This is remarkable. The remarkability of America is the spiritual. What Christians, and I'm going to assume where they were Christians, what Christians have done in the spreading of the gospel, in taking the Bible, the Wycliffe translators, unbelievable. I don't know how all this is going to work out at the efficiency rating before Jesus Christ, but Wycliffe has just done an unbelievable job throughout its history. Go into little villages where they don't have any language that they other than what they speak, and learn it, and then translate. And these people are devoted. They're committed. We could listen to Joe the other night. There are people that we'll never know who are committed, men and women. Go in and just to learn their language and write it down and then teach them and then take that back to Wycliffe here in America, get it printed in Bible in there, and then take them a little Bible. Maybe just the Gospel of John, maybe parts of it, but take them the Gospel. And we've done this all over the world. And that is one of the necessities before the rapture of the church. The world will have known the Gospel. And this country has fulfilled that. Maybe we're past our need. I don't know. I know that things are changing in our direction, but this country has done so much in the spreading of the Gospel to get that one Gospel to the soul of unbelievable number of people all over the world. We have people go in to leper colonies. People go to the pygmies in Australia. People go to all over Africa, China, India. which are more culture development, but developed. But so it's the same gospel. The need is the same. Salvation of the soul. Not the body, but salvation of the soul. And the gospel is the same. The reason it's the same? Because of God's creation of man. So, transportation changes, medical advancement changes, but not the soul. Not the troubles of the soul. Not the hurts of the soul. Not the needs of the soul. Stress, anxiety, depression. People all over the world through history have experienced those things. Have experienced stress, anxiety, depression, as you do. It's nothing new to us. This has been going on all through history. And so this is because of the makeup of the soul. No matter the location on earth, no matter the education level, the needs of the soul are the same. Much like the needs of the body do not change. We all need oxygen. We all need food. We all need sleep. Just stay with those three. So these are just basic. Water is basic. So you take the body and you think of the soul in the same sense. That just as every human body needs the same water and oxygen and food and sleep, the soul has the same needs of every human being throughout the history of man. So the soul, its needs do not change. Salvation, love. Love of God, love of man. So let's look at our passage now in verse 27. In the image of God, Slim, God, Elohim, all three members of the Godhead, because they are one. They are one. Refers to the fact that every man's soul has the same identical essence, invisible but real, just as the essence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are identical. Then we have the phrase, He created them. He, referring back to Elohim, God, created, Cal Perfect of Bara again. So, again, it's referring to this first Adam, first man. Then it says, male and female, He created them. Now, we're not going to get into a big difference between the male and female. The difference in woman and the difference in make. I did that series a long time ago. We like to talk about the difference of the male and the female and all these things. And the male brain, soul, the female brain, soul, forget the body, the souls. They are made to be compatible with each other in spite of all the jokes that go out there. Their bodies are made for each other. Anyone with half a brain knows that a male body is not made for a male. Female body is not made for a female. Female body made for the male. Male body made for the female. Same thing goes on inside the soul. This phrase does not deal with the body of the male and female. The male, this time we do not have Adam. It's interesting. We do not have Adam where it says male and female. We have the Hebrew word Zakar, Z-A-K-A-R, and here it refers to the male soul, structure of the male soul. Female, this is not Isha. I-S-H-A, I-S-H-A is generally the word for female. This is not Isha. This is Nach, N-E. Q-E-B-A-H. It's a feminine noun referring to the female. And this refers to the design of the female soul to respond to the design of the male soul. The male body, female body designed to complement, respond to each other. The soul is designed to respond to each other. The format is the same in the male and female. But there are differences in his soul and her soul. Before you get carried away with all of this, these differences are designed by God for the completion. For the completion, not the battle. I'm sorry, it's not a battle. The female soul, the female body, male body, designed for each other. The female soul, the male soul, designed to complement and fulfill each other. So as their bodies are made to complete and fulfill each other, their souls are made by God to complete and fulfill each other. Total depravity messed all this up. Total depravity messed all this up. And we'll get into that. This is why it is so essential that a believer marry a believer, preferably a believer who knows how to be filled with the Spirit, because when you are filled with the Spirit, your soul becomes what God designed it to be. His soul becomes what God designed it to be. Her soul becomes what God designed it to be, and it's a great compliment. It's a great compliment. This is why every wife should be so encouraging of her husband to be filled with the Spirit. Every husband encourages his wife to be filled with the Spirit. Marriage between a man and a woman as a coalescence of soul before the bringing together of the bodies, the bringing together of the soul, which is quite different in the animal kingdom. In the animal kingdom, this is not the case. What we're doing in our society in America, we are reducing our young people to mere animals, to mere objects of physics, and where the soul isn't even to be considered. All we are animals. No eternal soul, nothing made in the likeness of God, no personal identity with God, just animal and animal urges. And this is what we have going on in the world today. Make our souls, and just forget the souls, just, you know, the whole physical thing. So just take care of me, take care of my needs, my health, my care, take care of me from birth to the grave. So this is what you do with when you've reduced man, you take God out of society, man becomes this animal, advanced animal, I grant you that, they do say that, it's advanced, but just an animal. And just like you take care of animals, you take care of humans. When one thinks of the universe, the heavens and the stars, the earth, male, female, bodies and souls of males and females, and can come to the conclusion of evolution, what a fool. What an unbelievable fool. That all of this just happened by chance. I know it's difficult to listen when someone's reading. It's not very long. I'll read you my favorite passage. It's not a passage of the Bible. On this very thing, it's written by Whitaker Chambers in his book Witness. And he's talking about how he was a communist, why he was a communist. First 23 pages are worth anyone's reading of the book Witness. 23 pages isn't very long, but it's powerful. But this is where he talks about becoming aware of God. But I date my break from communism from a very casual happening. I was sitting in our apartment in St. Paul Street in Baltimore. It was shortly before we moved to Alger Hiss's apartment in Washington. My daughter was in her high chair. I was watching her eat. She was the most miraculous thing that had ever happened in my life. I liked to watch her, even when she smeared portraits on her face, or dropped it, I love this, dropped it meditatively on the floor. My eye came to rest on the delicate convolutions of her ear. Those intricate, perfect ears. The thought passed through my mind, no, those ears were not created by any chance of coming together of atoms in nature, the communist view. They could have been created only by immense design. The thought was involuntary and unwanted. I crowded it out of my mind. But I never wholly forgot it or the occasion. I had to crowd it out of my mind. If I had completed it, I should have had to say, design presupposes God. I did not know that at that moment, the finger of God was first laid on my forehead. But there are so many people, even more today, who believe all of this just happened by chance. This whole thing, just a evolutionary process. The people who study these things, you know, there's a God here, creator. So verse 27, and God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God created, bara. Okay, let's take a look at the soul. Let's take a look at the real you for a moment. Not in great detail, but let's just take a look. One. The creation of the soul of man. The creation of the soul of man is recorded in Genesis 2:7. The human body is simply a house, a shell to carry the real you, the real person, while here on earth. The body is temporary shelter. It is like a bottle of wine, which is nothing more than to carry the wine. Some wineries go and make beautiful labels, some very simple labels. It's the wine inside that counts. Some human bodies are absolutely beautiful, some are not so beautiful. It's what's inside that counts. That's the real issue, but that's difficult to teach young people. But the body is made out of the dust of the earth. The body is not saved. God designed the body to simply carry our soul. It is made after the pattern of animals, and that's wonderful. We learn medically a lot from about the human body through history. We've learned by studying animals. Let's look at 2 Corinthians a moment. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians, chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. Second Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. For we know that if the earthly tent, that's our body, which is our house, is torn down, death, we have a building from God. A house is a resurrected body, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house, our earthly bodies, we groan. And as you get older, you groan a little more. We groan, longing to be clothed. That's have the body with our dwelling from heaven. No cancer, no sickness, no tired, no needs. Verse 3. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. That's our soul. Naked. Aristotle had the view, he wasn't sure what to do, but that when we died, the soul just was out there. Freelance out there. Okay, but that would be naked. Verse 4, for indeed, while we are in this tent, our earthly bodies, we groan. He said it twice now. He's getting older. Groan. Being burdened with weight, diseases, sicknesses, being burdened because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. In other words, have put on our immortality. 1 Corinthians 15. Okay, so the body of man is made out of the dust of the earth. Our bodies are not some magnificent machine that came about through some stupid ideal of evolutionary process. That's just the most ridiculous thing in the world. But was finally designed, finally designed by God Himself. All the intricacy, the inner working. I mean, our body is the most magnificent machine ever. It is just unbelievable all that goes on inside of our body. All the designs that are inside of it. But was designed by God Himself. When we die, it simply returns to the dust. He went to a lot of trouble to give us this unbelievable body that's just going to return to the dust. Just going to return to the ground. That's all that's going to happen. And it would do everyone service to remember that a person is not who they are in their bodies, but in their souls. That's the real you. The real you is who you are in the soul. And I do funerals. It's just personal. I personally don't like open casket. I understand some people need that closure. Some people do it. But people ask me, well, should I have open? And I say, that's up to you. I can answer you for me, but as far as you're concerned. But they're not there. That person's not there. That's the bottle, as it were, that carried that fine wine that was inside. Okay, let's go to point two. On the other hand, the soul is invisible, yet real and everlasting. I like everlasting rather than eternal, because we came into being at a point in time, God created, and we're everlasting after that point. So there are people born centuries ago, everlasting. And we came along now and we're everlasting. Okay. Every human soul, once it is created out of nothing by God, lasts forever. This is the soul of the unbeliever. It's the soul of the believer. Both souls last forever. Okay? So, the soul lasts forever. Every unbeliever and believer. Point three. The issue there is, where are you going to spend eternity? Where is the real you going to spend eternity? That's the decision here. And most people, no matter what they want to do, I don't believe in God, but final analysis, spend the night alone. No, this isn't it. When I die, that's not it. I don't know how I know that, I just know that. Just to make the point, there are Africans who did not grow up with any kind of education. They know. They know. They don't, may not know what's going on, but they know. Gene Brown went on a trip to Africa, and went by plane and bus and da da da, and then had to walk 3 days. Walked up into this little village, and as he went in, he always would go to the chief first. As he went to the village, he saw a little arbor where there's the benches over here, and tell people sat there for some reason. He met the chief and told the chief the gospel of Jesus Christ. The chief, great, and he said, "What are those? I saw a place that looked like you meet." And chief said, "Oh yeah, we meet." And he said, "And we've been worshiping. You just gave us his name. His name is Jesus. We've been worshiping him all along." So it's just something you know, that this is not it. No matter what people try to tell us, this is not it. So point three, the soul has a structural makeup. Has a structural makeup. Now that makeup is analyzed, characterized by many people. There's this kind of person, and that's that kind of person, and all these kind of things that go on, and it's all this kind of study. But the brain, with all of its parts, self-consciousness, mentality, volition, emotion, all these things. This is all part of who and what we are, personality, and in the makeup of the soul. Point four. The Bible distinguishes between the soul and the spirit. At the original creation, we were trichotomous. C-H-O-T-O-M-O-U-S. Don't mean to insult anybody, but trichotomous. Body, soul, and spirit. Only the body is material. As we will see, as part of total depravity, we lost the human spirit and became dichotomous. Original creation, trichotomous, body, soul, spirit. At the fall, which we'll take a look at because that gets into the study of total depravity, at the fall, body and soul, we lost the human spirit. That means we lost the ability of fellowship with God. At faith in Jesus Christ, salvation, we become trichotomous, body, soul, and spirit. We regain the spirit by faith in Christ. Now, just to let you know, big battle, people that have time to fight, and they love to do this stuff, did we lose the human spirit? Was it there but just need to be reactivated or regenerated? All these kinds of things. Whatever you want to do with, that's fine. That's not part of my discussion this morning. But the point is, it became inactive or gone. Whatever way you want to look at it. I have no problem. Same difference. Same result. When we have faith in Jesus Christ, rejuvenate, regenerate, or gain a human spirit. Whichever way you want to look at it. The unbeliever is dichotomous. He has no, means two, he has no human spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, 1 Corinthians would be a great study on our whole study of total depravity, but I don't think we're going to have time. We're already taking more time for this than I thought. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. But a natural man. Okay, natural. This is how we're born from the womb. Natural birth, natural man, that's with a body and a soul. The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them. We need the human spirit to understand spiritual things. We need the human spirit to understand God, to understand things about God. They're foolishness to him. He cannot even understand them because they are spiritually appraised. This is why it's so vital, people, to know how to be filled with the Spirit. Christians still fighting how to be saved. We need to be fighting how to be filled with the Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit who activates the invisible human spirit that we process spiritual or divine things and have fellowship, relationship with God. We have fellowship with one another. other human beings. The spirit, human spirit, we have fellowship with God, who is what? Spirit. So, this is very important. Now, let's go back. So, under point four, original creation, trichotomous, body, soul, spirit. At the fall, body and soul, loss of spirit. Faith in Jesus Christ, become trichotomous, body, soul, and spirit. The unbeliever is dichotomous. He has no human spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:14, dichotomous, D-I-C-H-O-T-O-M-O-U-S. The believer is trichotomous, T-R-I. We're trichotomous. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So let's go over here to the New Testament, and either in a table of content or just by browsing through, see if you run across 1 and 2 Thessalonians. We want 1 Thessalonians. Get into Paul's letters and find 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit, small s, not the Holy Spirit, may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete. There is the trichotomous of man. Spirit, soul, body. Be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the next verse, faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. He'll bring us to pass that way when he presents us to heaven. So the believer is trichotomous. We have a spirit, we have a soul, we have a body. The human spirit, which we're not going to spend a lot of time studying, the human spirit is acquired at the point of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. We are capable then of having fellowship with God forever. God designed the soul to have fellowship with one another and with him in that sense. The spirit with him. We lose that spirit of total depravity, there goes fellowship with God. Okay, point five. Point five, only the soul is made in the image of God. Only the soul is made in the image of God. Let's read together Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky of the earth. And then verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. This is the way it all started off in the garden. That brings us to the question, what about total depravity? How can one who is created and made in the image and likeness of God become totally depraved? So that's the place where we're ready for, and doggone at the time, right at the time, and I don't want to go, but I would just get started and have to repeat it. So we'll start here, but what we're going to do now, we've got man created in the image of God, body, soul, and spirit, harmony with God, harmony with each other, just a wonderful thing in the garden. Man and woman, harmony, never arguing with each other, never misunderstanding each other. Isn't that wonderful? Just getting along, just throughout the day, having a wonderful time. Their bodies and their souls, and just having a great time. And the total agreement, total harmony with God, total harmony with the birds, with the trees. Just wonderful! What happened? How did we come to total depravity? How did we come? Well, men, give you a little hint. Adam left his woman alone, and she's going to talk. And so she talked to a pet who was there with her. But I want to go through something else before we even get there, and we got to see the devastation of sin. We don't understand. We're so used to sin, recovery by faith, the grace, all these things. We've lost sin. It's devastating, people. It changed the whole earth twice. It changes creatures. We've got to appreciate, even as believers, the devastation of sin. So we'll pick it up here next week. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your plan. We praise you for your design, our souls, spirits, our bodies, a wonderful design. The way everything was designed and functioned in the garden together between this male and female, between the male and female and you, between the male and female and your Son, Jesus Christ. And then came sin. But right now, Father, we just praise you for your design. The design of the earth, the design of man, woman. Beautiful, perfect design. Father, pray you take these things now and start what we've seen this morning, settle into our souls that we have a body that groans. We have a soul designed for fellowship. We have a human spirit designed for fellowship. Pray you'll guide us in the function of all of these things, Father. And bring us back next Sunday that we can continue our study on what happened. What happened to such beautiful harmony? Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.